Hi, my name is Jeff Rowe, and this is Digital Dominance, the podcast for service-based small business owners who are ready to seize the recognition and growth that their company deserves. You've worked hard to build a business you're proud of. Now it's time for Digital Domination. Welcome back to Digital Dominance. Today, we're going to talk about something that is a little less glamorous. Everybody gets excited about launching campaigns or posting interesting videos, but what about after you've done that? What happens when someone raises their hand and says, I'm not ready to buy, but I'm open to hearing more from you? You know, for many of us, this is the hard part. The follow-up, the nurturing, the drip campaigns, and the community building. We get discouraged because we don't see immediate results, and this open-ended pursuit can feel tiresome. Plus, it can feel like we are pestering and we don't want to be a bother, so we just don't do it. My guest today is Chris Lipper, the founder of On the Bus Small Business Coaching. Chris is great at building relationships and nurturing his network. He's an author, facilitator, entrepreneur, and he has coached hundreds of business owners over the past 20 plus years. So we're going to talk about building a loyal following and how to be consistent and effective at follow-up. So thanks for being here, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Quite the introduction. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. So Chris, you come from an entrepreneurial family, but you actually started your career on Wall Street. How has the Wall Street experience influenced the way you do things as an entrepreneur?
Well, when you work on Wall Street, depending on where you are, many times you're working for entrepreneurs. So it's not all big corporate. Like I was down on the floor with a $2 broker. I was up at a mutual fund on a small trading desk. Those were both entrepreneurial type companies. So I got to see how other people ran their businesses. I also got to see the end game for a lot of people when you become a traded company, a publicly traded company. And, you know, for many, I guess that's the goal and the excitement. But, you know, man, you lose a lot of control and a lot of power. And, you know, then you're at the mercy of the public kind of thing. It's that could be a little scary, I would think, for me, at least.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. At least it gives you that inside perspective as you're talking to business owners and making that plan for them. So on our topic of following up, you know, this is something that we're constantly learning and improving as we grow at different stages of our business. But what's your philosophy when it comes to following up with prospects?
Well, it's more than just prospects, right? So it depends on what we're talking about. But the key to everything is the follow up. That if you're not going to follow up, why do it? You know, is what it boils down to. So I remember in 2014, I had one of my members sitting across from me. He had just come back from a series of three or four trade shows, and his foot was on like a shoebox. I remember it was a box about the size of a shoebox. And he said, trade shows suck. I'm never doing another one. And I was like, okay, what's in the box? What's that box with your foot on? He goes, oh, those are all the leads from the show. I was like, well, what have you done with those? He goes, well, they're there. And I was like, you know, trade shows don't suck. You suck at doing them, and I'm going to prove it to you, and we're going to have a trade show. And that was 20 shows ago. You know, so if you're not going to do the follow-up, why do the show? If you're not going to do, you know, if you run an ad and you've got a phone number in the ad and people are leaving messages and you're not calling them back, why run the ad? You know, it's not just about looking good and feeling good. You know, some people, many of my members go out on speaking events and I'll ask them, I'll say, so how did it go? And they always say, oh, it was great. And they're talking about how it felt. They're not talking about the results. So I'm a guy who likes numbers, tangible things. You know, I'm not a fluffy kind of guy. It's numbers that if you've got 100 people in an audience, how many appointments did you get? Or how many books did you sell? Or how many whatevers? What was your goal and what are you doing and how are you following up? And again, if you're not going to follow up, why do it?
I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck in the magic bullet mentality, right? Oh, if I just do this or get this speaking gig or whatever, everything else will just happen. I'll be rich and happy or whatever. But there's a process. Like you said, you got to make a plan for that, right?
Yeah, and there is no longer a just do anything. I heard recently it takes 12 touches. It used to be 7 touches, right? I don't know where these numbers come from, but I believe it, that it's not a just thing. unless, you know, maybe all of a sudden you get this great interview on TV and the right people see it. Maybe that's the just thing. It's like those, you hear about those overnight successes, but it took 20 years to get that overnight situation. So it's not a just.
Yeah. And so for you and on the bus, you know, you offer your community a lot of opportunities to engage with you. You book meetings. You have book meetings where you talk about your book. You do networking events and even trade show conferences, like you mentioned. So how do you make sure that the effort you're putting into these things are going to generate results from your business?
So we got to be careful with that, because the book meetings, we have two books out. One is The Entrepreneur's Big Book, featuring the 12 steps of entrepreneurship, and the other is a sales training workbook. The intent of those books is for our members. So it's their member meetings, outside people don't come, where we listen to the audible copy of the book and then have a group discussion on it. So it's not that kind of meeting. Now, we will use the promotion of it to attract others, right? Because people might be interested and they can come to one for free and check it out and kick tires, kind of thing. So that's one aspect. The trade shows are totally different. That's the masses, right? That's the last show. We had, I think, 300 people come 435 times to a 3-hour show. And, you know, they'll all be invited again. They're all in our drip marketing and they will hear from us repeatedly until the next show and then the one after that.
How long on average do you expect it to take to move someone from interested to client? You know, maybe you met them on a networking call and now they are on your drip meetings. Do you have any sense there of how to map that out?
So to client, I would view it, how long would it take to from meeting them to prospect meeting, to figuring out, one, if we're a fit for each other, if we want them, and if they want us, and if we're a fit. But more accurately, it's how long till they start coming to our other events, to our networking groups or our other things. And that happens relatively quickly. And then we get to know each other on that level. So that's generally a next step for us, is they'll start coming to our other events.
Well, it helps that the events are free, right? Because it lowers that barrier to entry. It's not as big of a commitment to just show up to a networking event because they feel like they're going to get something out of it too, right? While they get to check it out. So that's
And even for our exhibitors, right? So with our exhibitors, we have two classes before the trade shows. We get to know each other pretty well then. And those are solid relationships. With the attendees, you know, they're just coming, you know, it's like a school of fish coming in and going out in a 3-hour period. It's hard to get a handle for who everyone is. So I do rely on the drip marketing quite a bit afterwards.
And you're very consistent with emails. You send about 2 a week to your list about upcoming events and everything and letting people know what's out there. Do you ever get anyone saying that's too much?
The problem with that is they don't say it. They just unsubscribe. So you never know. You know, because your list gets smaller, right? We try to send out announcements on Mondays and Wednesdays, and that's because our events are typically Mondays and Thursdays, and we're trying to remind people of them so they get on the calendar and they register. We send to, I don't know, I guess about 4,000 or 5,000 people a week, and the received is over 3,000, I'm guessing, at this point. I looked the other day. I think that's okay. People don't unsubscribe in masses. The ones that have. So,
in a way, it kind of refines your following to be more in line with who you want to be working with, right? They're kind of self-selecting out, right? If they're identifying, this is too much, not really what I want, they leave. And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Then we're not a fit for them. And they get a vote in that equation, right? They get a 51% vote. We'll give them that.
Sounds good. So what about when you're pursuing a specific prospect for one reason or another? You know, maybe they're a big client or a strategic one. How do you decide where to draw the line between persistence and pestering?
I don't. I've never been asked that before. And, you know, if I want to get an appointment with someone, I'm going to get the appointment. There's no doubt about that. It's generally a matter of finding the right someone. You know, in this day and age, we can meet with anyone, within reason, I guess. But my challenge is really finding those prospects. It's more finding the people that I want to meet with than actually meeting with them.
Well, because at this point, you've built up a brand, you've got all this value to provide. So it's a much easier ask to have a quick meeting than it is when you're just starting out and you don't really know why they'd want to meet with you in the first place.
Yeah, and because of our following and because of our traffic, there's nobody who wouldn't want to meet. I don't want to sound arrogant, but who wouldn't want to meet with me if I've got this, you know, kind of community behind me? You know, if you're, let's say you're, you know, a marketing guy at a bank or something like that, of course they're going to want to meet.
Well, you've given them reason to over time. And that's something that you build up as a business over time. It doesn't happen overnight.
And we do unique stuff, you know, like our whole virtual platforms, where whether it was Lipperville when we had our city or if it's the international virtual conferences, there aren't a lot of people doing this stuff. You know, or then you throw in the mastermind groups and the sales training and the networking groups. You throw it all together, it's a nice package and they can pick and choose.
Yeah, and it's great for people who've been solopreneurs and just kind of doing it on their own. And now suddenly there's a community that people understand what they're going through, and also you get to grow at the same time and be held accountable so that you kind of can relight that fire for you if you're kind of getting burned out on business. It kind of refocuses and now you're going with a cohort essentially and moving forward with people on your side who are rooting for you.
You know, it's funny. As you know, once a month we go through a bus pass and we track behavioral goals with our members. I actually set one up for myself today and it's fascinating. I haven't done that before. And, you know, so I'm going to start treating myself as a client just because big year already, and it's only January, 12th or something. And, you know, we've already broken many goals.
Well, that's great. I mean, you have to set the example for the clients. So good for you. Now, I will say one of the things you're good at is maintaining your level of engagement even after the transition from prospect to client. You know, a subscriber might get used to frequent communication while you're wooing them, but the worst thing you can do is go silent after they finally say yes. So can you talk about what has to happen for that smooth and successful transition?
So it's interesting, as you were saying that, I was thinking the other way, how I do go silent when they've said yes and then they leave. And then all of a sudden, you know, that communication then stops. But yeah, once somebody's engaged and they're in our community, they're the star. You know, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure they're meeting the right people and they know what questions to ask and they know where they're going with this and they know what they're building and who they want to be surrounded by. It's all about them.
Gotcha. Well, I think you're being too hard on yourself. I think you do a good job of bringing them to the forefront and welcoming them to the group, introducing them to people, making networking connections right away, poking them, making sure they're coming to the networking groups. You're doing that. And so that's what I'm talking about. And that makes people feel like they made the right choice and they are getting the value right off the bat. It's not like they were just a number to you. You're actually caring about them making progress, right?
100%. You're right with that. Yeah, 100%. That there are no wallflowers in our community. I will make sure of that, that everybody's involved, everybody's engaged. And sometimes they come kicking and screaming, but they do come. You know, it's that's all part of it.
Yeah, you make sure they're there. So do you have any stories from coaching clients where they were struggling with follow-up? You mentioned that one guy about the trade show who didn't really feel like it, but do you have any other examples that you can share with us?
Lately, our challenge, I guess similar, but, you know, sometimes entrepreneurs, they'll take it to the 5-yard line. They have a hard time completing things sometimes. I know it's not the exact question you're asking, but maybe it's similar, that sometimes there can be a fear of success. That they like doing the work, right? They like the engagement, but they don't want to always hear no, so they won't go that extra 5 yards. And I don't quite understand that, but I do see that quite a bit. So my job is to push them over those last 5 yards, you know, and get them to ask for the order or whatever it is. They've done the work. So let's just go for it. What's the worst thing that happens is somebody says no. So I'm not sure if that answered, I don't know if that answered your question, but that's where my head went when you asked it.
Well, it's a good illustration because I think it's accurate. You know, a lot of us have personal beliefs or upbringing that kind of inform that in somewhere in our brain. You know, maybe our parents didn't ever finish things. And so now we subconsciously think that, you know, you don't even realize we're doing it, but you're kind of sabotaging yourself in the same way because we've picked up on these traits. And so maybe that's where that comes from. And we got to keep doing more personal development to identify those things that are roadblocks for us. And that's why it's so helpful to have a coach and a community to help push us past those and recognize that those are getting in the way and holding us back.
Yeah, and part of how we start with everybody is with a vision of where they're going. And I think that helps because sometimes there's like imposter syndrome or whatever the trendy word of it is, but it's they don't feel worthy of the success they're having. And I don't quite get that, because they're great at what they do and they're doing the work to get there. Why not take it to a next level? And I've had some members say, look, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. And you know, that's where good becomes the enemy of great. When they come to me, they want to be great, right? But then they get good, and that's like good enough. And that's when I want them to be great and stay in that direction.
So I'm reading a book by Dan Martell right now, and he talks about how a lot of entrepreneurs are addicted to chaos, meaning, you know, maybe we grew up in environments, we moved a lot or had a lot of shifts in schools or whatever it was, families were crazy, and we learned how to adapt and really survive and do well in those types of environments. So then when we get to a place where things are now organized, we've got our KPIs, we're doing our monthly reports, and it's all seems to be moving smoothly, we kind of like, our brain's like, no, something's wrong. There's no chaos here. And so we kind of throw the hand grenade to make the chaos, and then we feel more comfortable.
You know, in the recent book, we talk about that in our sixth step. And, you know, sometimes if there isn't chaos, we'll create the drama. So almost we can stir the pot and get, but we don't need to self-sabotage like that, right? And we have steps and other things we can do so that doesn't happen. But you're right, that can happen, especially with a fast-growing company that has now gotten to where they want to be. And I'm not suggesting anyone coast, but now let's keep growing in an organized fashion. You know, we don't need the craziness all the time.
So what are some other common mistakes that you've seen business owners make when trying to do follow-up or building their community?
So I see it with solopreneurs a lot, and I see it with lawyers in particular for some reason, that they're either selling or doing, and their year ends up very jagged in terms of revenue. And they forget that while they're doing, they still need to be networking and doing some of the other things. And I see that as a huge issue. And there are very few people that are good at both. You know, I think that's why they are solopreneurs, because they are good at both. Most can't sell and do, and that's why they become employees, right? And they're good at one of those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But the solopreneur is a special breed of person, and they need to be able to use their calendar well to make sure they're still going to their networking events, still having their one-to-ones, still doing their follow-up, while doing the business. And I think it's a matter of using your calendar well.
Yeah, and because there's a lag time on those efforts, right? You don't get immediate.
Generally about 3 months.
Right, exactly. Or 90 days. And guys, there's another episode of the show with Christine Campbell Rappin where we talk about this in more detail. But go check out that episode if you want to understand more about that lag and how you can be focused on making sure that that pipeline is always full. But it's the same idea, right? As long as you're doing the right things on a consistent basis, then you won't have that up and down, because you're like, got to do the stuff, then I got to market, then okay.
And that's why our coaching's a little different than most, because we do start with a vision. And sometimes the vision's an exit or a franchising, whatever their exit, their plan is at the end. But we break it down to behaviors, and the behaviors are what we track. It's not the KPIs. The KPIs, in my opinion, are a result of the behaviors. And we can't control that, but we can control the behaviors. So an example, if we go to networking events, we can control how many one-to-ones are we having. And if we're not getting the one-to-ones and we're trying, why are we going? Let's find a different group, or let's get trained on how to do it differently.
It's the fortune's in the follow-up, right? We've heard that phrase. And if you're doing the right things on a consistent basis, then the results will inevitably follow. And you can always improve and iterate on those results to make sure they come faster or better or whatever. But if you're not doing the stuff in the first place or not following up with the leads you're getting from the trade shows, then what's the point? So this is all great reminders.
We got to make sure we're fishing in the right holes too. You know, we got to find those Goldilocks groups kind of thing, that where it's the right audience for us. And sometimes as we grow, those audiences may not have also grown. Then we find next audiences, next fishing holes. And that's where a lot of our members are at. They're evolving and growing, so they need to find next groups and next people to hang with.
Right, and that makes sense. And you're a great person at helping identify that for people and kind of moving them where they need to be or pushing them in that direction. But we are coming up on the end of our time for today. I do appreciate you sharing with us, Chris. There's lots of nuggets in this conversation that people can learn from and put to practice in their own businesses to improve their own follow-up and their own outcomes overall. So guys, check out the links in the description. If you're a small business owner and you've been doing this on your own, check out Chris's books, check out On the Bus, or schedule a meeting with Chris. He has lots of resources to help you get more traction in your business. And if you had a light bulb moment while listening to today's episode, I want to know about it. So send me a quick message on LinkedIn. Let me know what it was. Chris, do you have any closing thoughts for us?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. I hope that everyone enjoys this. My thought is that for business owners, you don't have to do this alone. You know, being a business owner, who do you talk to when you have an idea? Who do you talk to when you have a challenge? A network of other owners is a great thing. I'm sure you have your golf buddies and your bartenders and your spouses and all of that, and even your accountants. But it's not the same as talking to other owners that have been through this and get feedback and learn from their mistakes so you don't have to make them. And that's what our community does. But it just helps.
Agreed. 100%. So thanks again for being here, Chris. Thanks to everybody listening. Now, guys, get out there, start dominating, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Digital Dominance Podcast brought to you by Frobro. Each week, we dive into various digital marketing topics to help you get more clients online. If you really want to dominate, go to frobro.com/dominate for a free evaluation of your online presence. It's time for digital domination.